Christ. If you have your Bibles tonight, Matthew chapter 9. My wife and I would like to thank you for the hospitality that you've given us this week. It's been wonderful. And again, it's been so good to reminisce. And my parents, for those that did ask, my parents are doing well in northern Indiana. My one daughter's in Omaha, married with three grandbabies. Our other daughter, Allison, is in Lancaster, just married in June. And my son, George, is with us still, working at a golf course in groundskeeping and doing well, working in the ministry there as well. And we praise the Lord that it's all by God's grace. As brother said, it's not me, it's not my wife, but if it was one of us, it'd be her. But it's all by the grace of God. All by the grace. We just try to do our best at the moment, making the decisions based on the word of God, and then just ask for God's grace. Throughout my day at the office, when I'm doing medicine, sometimes that can be challenging when you're dealing with people that are sick and diseased and are not doing well emotionally, physically. And I go back to my office and I beg God for his grace. God, give me grace. Give me your wisdom to help these people, and give me your grace. It says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease. And as a medical doctor, I take note of that fact. It's not some sickness and some disease, but it was every sickness and every disease. Our God, my God, is above all and can do all. That is how powerful, how amazing, how awesome our God is, that he can heal every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name above every name, and that's your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as Pastor Lytell prayed earlier, at that name every knee shall bow. And I'm so thankful that us here tonight have bowed this side of eternity and proclaimed you as our Savior by faith. I pray that you would work in our midst tonight, that your Spirit would have free course, that you would touch every heart, work in every heart, draw us closer to you. May we be educated in the Word of God tonight, but may as well as encouraged and excited about what we can do to advance the kingdom of God. So would you, Father, meet with us through your Spirit, bless in a mighty way. May we right now find favor in your eyes. And we ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sunday morning, we talked about courageous faith. And Sunday night, we talked about courageous love. And then we talked about courageous stewardship on Monday. And as we talked about all that, and we talked about a courageous renewal found in Ezra chapter 1 last night, and how they finished the job when they went back to rebuild the temple, it tells us that they finished the job, and those that went back to Jerusalem and those that stayed in Babylon, they worked together, and they got the job done. And I just wanted to impress on you again, Gospel Baptists, continue to get the job done in regards to witnessing in the local area and then supporting those that are outside of this area to do the same. And tonight, I want to talk to you about courageous compassion tonight. Courageous compassion. Compassion is your hurt in my heart. And Jesus was full of compassion. As we see here in verse 36, he was moved with compassion. John 11:35, some of your favorite verses, right? John 11:35, Jesus wept. We all know that one. But Jesus is demonstrating empathy in that verse, that he wept. Jesus feels our hurt. And Jesus understands our pain. He understands that. And you and I, as children of God, as Jesus Christ is our Savior, we all can grow in compassion. We need help to fulfill the great commission that God has given the church, the people's need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do that, we need to look on the multitudes that are out there with compassion. They are hurting, they are in pain, they are struggling, they are in a deep, dark hole, and they truly feel there is no ladder long enough to get to the bottom of that hole. But we are here to tell them at Gospel Baptist, there is a ladder deep enough for that hole, and that's the Word of God. And through the Word of God, and implementing the Word of God, they can climb out of that hole, find Christ as Savior, be set on a solid rock, and live a life that would glorify God and advance His kingdom. Amen. And so we all need to grow in compassion and go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I know our brother said that the one girl that he talked to didn't even hear about Jesus Christ and was able to share the story of Jesus Christ. I remember several years ago when we were back in Michigan and I was practicing medicine at the hospital. It was a late Friday evening and I was not on call that weekend. So when I finished on Friday, I was done for the weekend. Praise God. That's like a praise God thing for not being on call for the weekend. I got a call from the emergency room and Helen, an 84-year-old lady, was coming in. She was being admitted for congestive heart failure. I knew Helen, and so I wanted to take care of her and not have my partner take care of her on Saturday, do the admission. And so I waited around a little bit until she was moved to her room. And Helen was moved to a private room because all the semi-privates were taken. She started to see God working. I walk into the room, and again, I knew Helen. I had admitted her many times in the past for congestive heart failure. I got the chair that's in the room for visitors, and I scooted it up next to the bed and had the chart in my hands. These were the days, if you remember, the paper charts, which I love and I miss, but that's another site. That's another thing. That's another sermon. Paper charts versus electronic medical records. That's another issue. And I'm flipping through the chart, and I said, Helen, how are you doing? She says, Dr. Crabb, I'm just ready to die. And at that moment, sitting in that chair, flipping through her chart, I said, Helen, are you really ready to die? And she says, what do you mean, Dr. Crabb? I said, Helen, do you know where you're going to end up after you die for all eternity? She said, Dr. Crabb, I really don't. I put into my hand into my white coat pocket, waist pocket, and took out my New Testament. And I said, can I show you how you can know you're going to go to heaven when you do die? And she said, would you? And right there in the evening on a Friday night where I could be home, resting for a long weekend, Helen was saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. And 6 months later, Helen is now in heaven. And I believe she's part of that great cloud of witnesses. And she told me, like this little girl told you, I never heard of Jesus before. As I explained the gospel to her, she says, I never heard that. I've gone to church all my life. And I've never heard what you just said. And Helen got gloriously saved. And I just praise the Lord that I was able to be a part of that and that she's in heaven now enjoying the presence of God Almighty. But we see here this courageous compassion. We need to have compassion. People are hurting. They're in that deep, dark hole. They have no hope. And they have no hope in the world. But we can share with them the blessed hope, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And how they not only can have a blessed life now, but for all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me share a few things with you that I find in these verses. In verse 36, I see an inner compassion. He was moved with compassion. It says that he saw the need. He saw the people. He saw the need. And Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51 tells us, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart. Mine eye affecteth my heart." A quote that I'd like to give you is that Jesus did not argue with people, but rather went to help those who would receive him. I'm not out there. When I got saved at the age of 13, being a pastor's kid, I told you I could tell you how to be saved, but I wasn't saved until I was 13, until I believed from my heart in the Lord Jesus. I trusted Jesus by faith. At 13, at 15, I gave my life to the Lord and said, "Lord, I'll do what you want me to do, go where you want me to go, be what you want me to be." And at that time, I committed to going out door knocking, going out soul winning. And I'm sorry to say that many times I would argue with people. You know how many people I converted by arguing? A goose egg. But as I got older and matured in the faith and matured mentally and emotionally, people were moved by compassion when they know that you care. It says in Luke 19:41, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." Gospel Baptists, myself included, we need to see people in their struggle. The need of a Savior. The need of the Lord Jesus Christ, the need for discipleship, the need for comfort, the need for encouragement, the need for support. I look at all you and you look fine tonight, but I'm going to tell you, there's many in here that are struggling right now. And you don't need a harsh, critical, condemning statement given to you. You need compassion given to you, love given to you, encouragement given to you, support given to you. This life for the Lord Jesus Christ is worth it. It's the only life. I don't like to call it the best life. It's the only life. I think any other way of living is not life, because Jesus is life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so we see that Jesus saw the need and he felt the need. He was moved with compassion. It was personal to him. He internalized it. It truly affected his heart. And I want to encourage you to make that your mission. There's someone's child out there that is loved and adored that needs Christ. There's a mom or dad out there that need Christ. They need you to hand them a tract. They need you to live a gospel life in front of them. They need to hear you verbalize the gospel message. They need to have a missionary come by in a place that you'll never go and share with them the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ and be gloriously saved. My friends, they need us to do that. And we need to do that, continually do that, and feel, personalize it, internalize it. It says in Jude 1:22, "And of some having compassion, making a difference." He saw and he felt. When's the last time? I know many of us are a little bit on the older side. You have to define that. You see how it's an open-ended statement. You have to define what I mean by older side. But you remember maybe 20, 30 years ago when you would shed a tear about a lost family member, a lost friend. Now there's no more tears. When you see those bus kids coming in that have no hope outside of this place in the gospel of Jesus Christ, do you get irritated? Or do you wipe a tear from your eye? I think it would be healthy spiritually if all of us got on our knees tonight, said, God, give me a tear again. Stir my heart again. Break my heart for the lost that are out there. Jesus saw the need. He felt the need. May we walk out of here feeling the need that people have and demonstrate compassion on them. So not only do I see an inner compassion, I see an outward call or challenge that we see here in regards to all of us need to be involved. All of us need to witness as the opportunity arises. And I know some are not physically able to go and knock on doors or go on a visit call or something of that nature, but all of us can pray. All of us can send an encouraging note or a supportive note, and the majority, if not all, can give something to support the missionaries and support the work here at the gospel. So I see an outward call or challenge, and it's about an abundant need because the harvest is plenteous. And when you look at harvest in the Bible, it says in Joel 3:12, for the harvest is ripe, come and get you down, for the press is full. He's talking about the harvest as a time of judgment. The crop is ready, the time is urgent, because judgment is coming. And I go back to Helen. I didn't know she only had 6 months to live, but her time was coming. And there's people out there today that they don't know that their time is coming. In fact, all of our time is coming. Over the past several weeks, I've had several of my patients pass away. Some of them just good people. Some of them people that I've been able to share the gospel with and give them a gospel tract, but they refuse to listen. And I get the news that they passed away because I have to sign off on their death certificate. And you can ask my wife, we'll be sitting there and I'll be going through my computer and I'll say, oh, so-and-so just died, a wonderful lady. But she refused to listen to the gospel and I have to sign her death certificate and a tear comes to my eye. It's so hard to put my signature on those papers. It says in John 4:34 and 35, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. All of us right now, not this weekend. And I know you have a soul winning effort this Saturday, which is wonderful. And I recommend highly if you're able to participate. But we can't wait until Saturday. There are some people right now that cannot wait to hear the gospel Saturday. They need to hear it tonight. They need to hear it tomorrow or Friday. Take some tracts. Hand them out. As God gives opportunity, talk to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see an abundant need, but here's what is painful as you read this passage of Scripture. There's an absent workforce. Laborers are few. We are to evangelize, not because it is easy, not because we may be successful, but because Christ has called us. He is our Lord. We have no other choice but to obey him. We must evangelize. There's a lack of laborers in this harvest that is ready to hear the gospel and to be saved. It says in Psalm 126:6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I ask you tonight, Gospel Baptist, will you join the laborers that are going to go out and give the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you commit to that? Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. And so I see an inner compassion, an outward call, and then I see an upward prayer in verse 38 when he says, pray ye therefore, a call to pray. It says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And this is Paul writing to the church here at Ephesus. And for me, he's asking prayer for himself, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. No raise of hands at this moment, but when's the last time you prayed for someone to be saved? It doesn't take a lot of effort. It takes a little time and a little effort. Every day I pray for some family members of mine that are lost and need salvation. That's on my side of the family. On my wife's side of the family, there's some family members that are lost, and my wife will at times send tracts to them through the mail, and it's sad when they send the tract back, which just happened. They believe Jesus is a God, not the God. And they believe in Jesus along with everything else, though. But he is not a Savior, a God. He is the God, the Savior, the only one. I pray for my side of the family, her side of the family, and then for a few others that need the salvation that are friends of ours, that they have family that are lost and undone. Ask yourself, when is the last time you asked God to save somebody? If God answered your prayers tonight, how many people would walk the aisle tonight? Because you prayed for their salvation. A call to pray, to go, to give, and a commission to send. Are we going to be self-sufficient? Oh, we like to be, right? I can do it. We beat on our chest. I am my own captain. I determine my destiny. As I said the other day, you cannot take your next breath without God's okay. Your heartbeat will not beat again unless God says it's okay. I am not the captain of my destiny. It's God's sovereignty. Are we going to go to our community? Are you going to go to your community? It says in Luke 14:22, Jesus talking to the disciples, giving them a story here, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. We are to compel them. We are to encourage them with compassion and love, sharing the truth. We can reach, you can reach your community by going out Saturday and knocking on doors and passing out tracts. I believe acts of kindness open the door for witnessing down the road. Passing out your gospel tracts, I love how you do that, and we continue to do that out in California. Passing out tracts, putting them in pant pockets and every place else, and water bottle things and all that. So when they open it up, they find the gospel message, because it's the gospel that makes a person free. Sharing burdens with people opens the door to witness. The bus ministry opens doors to witness. Vacation Bible School opens doors to witness. And then we need, as you do here wonderfully at the gospel, is through missions you support them financially. But again, may I also say, and I know Brother Bong and his wife and the Taskers need financial support. We know that. We accept that. We acknowledge that. But I truly believe in their heart, they know, we know, that more than finances, they need spiritual support. for us to bring them before the throne of God on a regular basis, asking that their physical needs will be met, but that also that they would be spiritually protected. Acts 1:8, the very familiar verse tells us, but ye shall receive power. Power's not in me. Power's not in my wife. It's not in you. It's in the word of God. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. So let me ask you tonight, do you have compassion on the lost? Or, if I may say this, it's just their bad luck. That's the attitude of a lot of Christians. Well, it's just too bad. And I ask you, ask yourself this question. When is the last time you shed a tear for someone that's lost and on their way to an eternal hell apart from God? Someone's family member, I've got family members out there that are lost and they need someone to come by and talk to them about Jesus. Will you go? Will you give and support those that are going? This world needs to see compassion. They don't need our criticism and condemnation. That in no way means that I condone sinful activity. People know what we're against, but do they know what we're for? And we're for life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a call for all hands on deck for Gospel Baptist to be fully engaged with the call of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because here it says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You live out what's in your heart. Is compassion for the lost in your heart? If it's not, you're not going to live it out. And I said this quote, you've heard it before. I said it earlier this week. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I know we memorize this at an early age for us that grew up in church. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever, and I mean that, I believe it's a whosoever gospel. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, ask God to burden your heart with compassion for the lost. And then allow that burning inside of you to come out in how you live. And there might be someone here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. You're amongst friends tonight. We would all rejoice if you accepted Christ tonight. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you have doubt about your eternity, if you're uncertain where you would spend eternity, allow us the privilege of not giving you my philosophy or Pastor Lytle's philosophy, but showing you through the Word of God and the authority of the Word of God how you can be a child of God this evening. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the time tonight, and I pray that your words fell upon understanding ears. Father, I beg you that your spirit would grip your children tonight, and that tears would be literally shed tonight because we have compassion for the lost. And not only having that compassion in our heart, but that we would then live it out. Father, work in our midst.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.